briefly tonight. When we take this topic sometime, and Pastor Sarah, we may have a little talk, and he may suggest to me a topic. I don't have my pocket concordance and electronics like most of you, so I will be quoting certain verses, and I may not give you the reference. That's because I'm getting older, or I don't have the pocket reference concordance. I don't think you expect me to remember all the references. What does it matter? John didn't know I was John 3:16, but he knew that God so loved the world. So I know you can forgive me tonight. Be merciful. Thank you, Pastor Scheller, for this opportunity to be, wow, just one more time with you on this round. Thank you, Father, for that beautiful prayer by Pastor Ellis. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can have such a good time, but we can also be serious with you and joyful at the same time. Thank you for this morning's message by Pastor Shibeli, that the gates of hell, they cannot take a believer's salvation, but they can defeat our experience if we are all alone and don't want to draw near. But if we connect to the church, there's that defense that the gates of hell cannot overcome a church. So thank you for all these riches you've given to us. In your precious name, amen. I am conscious of the factor that there's a game tonight. And the topic is friendships. So I will not say anything which team I'm praying for, because I don't want to lose any friendships. So I'll just say that if the team from the state where was the great runner, Jim Ryan, who is a born-again believer, if Jim Ryan's state does well, I'm not sad, but I won't say more than that. I say Jim Ryan because he was such a devout believer, and as a runner, he always gave glory to God. And then he became a great congressman. Senator or congressman, help me. I think congressman, yeah. He retired. But I'm not retiring. Thank you, Lord. Topic is friendships. Wow, where do we start? Hey, the Lord said, that's the thing. We can read the Bible, the right verses, and read it backwards. I'm guilty of it. But I don't have a guilt trip about it. Just recover. Okay. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. It doesn't say I am your friend if you do whatever I command you. I am your friend anyway. And I show it by laying down my life for you. He's equally all of our friend. Equally. But the thing is, you are my friend if you're really caught into my friendship. And then you're just going to do what I tell you. It's going to be easier for you to do than not to do if you're really caught into it. How I am your friend. If we are close to his heart, it's easier to obey than not to obey. Illustration, I love my wife. In America, often people don't say, I love my wife. I don't know why, it's not in the culture. But I love saying, I love my wife. And when it's well and I am helping her like I should and living according to the scripture, I feel her needs, that if I neglect her need somehow, I feel not good. It's easier to obey the commandment of love than not to. And I told her, I forgot to go to the store, don't impeach me, please. She said, I'll never impeach you. Thank you, Lord. No, she will not impeach me. Thank you, Lord. So we start with the verse that he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. But he never said, I am your friend if you do what I command you. Thank you, Lord. Deep in my heart, I've had my eyes open. I'm watching. I'm being blessed. I'm not watching to criticize. I'm watching the blessing. And deep in my heart, I know we're all equally blessed. But let me say this. There's some people that are really after God, that take their calling seriously. Heaven has noticed you. Heaven has noticed you. And incidentally, there are 5 o'clock news in heaven. I'm not sure what time it is there, but heaven knows about our meetings. There's intense talkings and conferences about what's going on here. Of course. And they know where this message is really expressed. As close to the prophets and apostles' message as possible. They know. They pay attention. In this world, if you have like a son who goes to college and a medical college, well, the father is already lining jobs for them in such and such a place. And there's a huge lining up right now going on for our future. So that friendship, when we're talking about here, it also kind of flies above this roof to the second floor. The friendships that we had with people like Pastor Palmer and Neil Lockhart and all these precious, Jim Indulci and all these precious people that went on, these friendships never stopped. But let's stay on the ground now for a while, okay? Friendships. There's one particular blessing that really has to be at the foundation of friendships. And actually, it is the gift of righteousness. It may sound like, how is that related to friendship? But let me read in Philippians 3, 9 and 10. Paul said, I desire to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. That kicks it right out of the striving into rest, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of the Messiah, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And now, you have to forgive me, but I'm going to bring the Hebraic one more time. In Paul's, the language in which Paul studied the scriptures, it reads in verse 10, that in it I may know him. In that righteousness, that is, I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And so on. So, at the bottom of everything is the gift of righteousness. Why is that so important in the matter of friendships? Well, because friendships also have to do... God is doing work in our lives all the time. He's not doing any work concerning our flesh that's been put to the cross. He's doing and molding us, and he's working in our natural life. He's working in our natural life. He's molding us, but our sin, ourself, that's been placed. Our sin nature has been totally put to the cross. And we always need to remember that he died for us. If we put his work that he does in us and through us and all the needs so much in front of us that we forget always what he did for us, then we don't have that place to rest, that place to rest where our friendships rest. Otherwise, we could easily start again looking at the people's performance. It could be performance-based. And we know the Lord says to us that you are my friends if you do whatever I say, but I am your friend anyway. We will start telling people. I almost said once to my wife, you are my friend if you do whatever I tell you. And I realized, No, that's not it. That's not it. I won't say that to her and she won't impeach me. But what a gift of friendship. Everything, I mean, God is really one. Father, Son, His Spirit, Eternal Word, Eternal Lord, the Spirit. But it's kind of like, that's kind of like the basis of friendship. It is really reflected in certain lives. It is reflected in the life of David and Jonathan. It is reflected in their lives. And let's put it that way. If Jonathan had been after something for after himself, and if he did not see God in David's life, if he did not see God, God's work in David, God's righteousness, and the anointing of God in his life, he could have never done what he did. He could have never just spontaneously say that, take these weapons and this robe and I put you first and I'm not out to be the king after my father. He saw that this friendship was just from heaven and they were not in any way in the same age group. Jonathan was older, experienced, even a warrior. David was young. But Jonathan saw, mine, this young man, as his name is Beloved, David is Beloved. He transmits God's love for Israel. And he's been called because God has not left us alone. How beautiful. And then the statement that the Lord is between us. That's the thing. The Lord is between the friendships because the cross is in the friendship. But if the cross is there, you know what's so beautiful? I love this with all my heart. If we have the cross, that's what he did for us, how he placed our old man aside. And with that cross, we have resurrection. That's where the life goes into those areas where it hasn't gone yet, that we receive in our nature, Aramax's nature, the engrafted word, which is able to enliven our souls. Wow. So friendships that are through the cross are in a secure base. Friendships that are through the resurrection, we have the resurrection, but that when we're more conscious of it, those friendships have such a meaning. The Word of God is there. They enhance the body of the Lord on the earth. They enhance the work of God. They're not for self. Yeah. In the fall, soul fell into self. But when we, by the grace of God, rediscover the cross and we have the touch of resurrection, the soul takes its own place to say, I don't want to take the lead, but it's that where the Spirit flows. Friendships are deep in the heart. I actually believe what I think Pastor Stephen said long ago, that if you lose a friend, you lost something that you thought there was a friend. True friendships are so deep that if there is some kind of a test is normal, But there's such a sense of a loss in true friendship and desire to put it back that I believe that there are friendships that are made by God that are not lost even if there are some tests. And it's that eternal purpose that really seals our friendships. Thank you, Lord. So it's a gift of righteousness which is really under us that seals everything. So a natural man, a natural life may put our friendships into the test. And just a couple of examples here. How about Abraham and his relative Lot? Lot means like veiled. Abraham is the father figure. Abraham is father of multitude before father of heights. So Abraham is the man with a big heart. When their possessions increase, that friendship came to a test. Abraham was an unconditional friend. Like the Lord is to us. He was an unconditional friend. So Abraham just kept pouring his friendship to Lot. But Abraham saw that there came a strife. You know what's interesting? The strife wasn't between Abraham and Lot even. It was between the herdsmen, the people that held the cattle. And so they had so many possessions, it couldn't hold together. If in some way Lot had that higher vision, he could have said, you know, what do I care? Let it be one flock. Let my shepherds work with your shepherds and be under them. If there's a question, let's pull it together. Let it be yours. That might have worked. And there is a time in friendships. There is a time in friendships where the divine arrangement may be separated if we choose the natural. The natural is the thing that God is working at in our lives. He's not trying to improve that he already put on the cross. No, no. But a natural, the natural, that he worked with in Jacob's life. So that friendship went away, that Lot ended up there. Abraham was here on the mountains. But when Lot was in trouble and he ended up in captivity, Abraham didn't say, you, Lot, were my friend as long as you did what I wanted you to do. No, Abraham was out there. He rescued him. Eliezer was with him. We have a friendship with God. Abraham was called friend of God. That phrase is three times in the Bible. Ooh, but I want to close with this. This is just a little intro to this topic. You can meditate it on your own. But the real deal is here, this. If we are to have deep friendships, there needs to be a deep friendship with God first. There's one type of a friendship that is born on the knees, so to speak. Now, my best prayer time is I like to walk. Knees is very good, but I just like to walk and pray. We have our own style to do. That's fine. But Daniel, the prophet, when you read the chapters, after he did the long prayer, the angel came to him and said, Daniel, greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. And in Hebrew, it's really interesting. Ish hamudot. What's that? I'll try to explain. Hamud means nice, pleasant. That's like a good smell when somebody's baking a cake or a cookie. Yeah. Daniel, you are paying attention to what heaven needs this moment. God has no temple on the earth, and you got that little corner here in Babylon, and you three guys are trying to hold it. And you're not looking around to what is popular and what anybody does. Daniel, you are heaven's friend. You're doing that which is nice. Good savior to heaven. Ish Hamodot is like a really nice guy. In heaven's viewpoint. It's more than, it's not even obedient. It's beyond that what is required. And that's where real friendship kicks in. I want to finish here. I put my clock here, okay? So I'm going to finish. What did Apostle John say? When we pray, we receive if we do what he commands and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He didn't say that God gives us if we do what is pleasing in his sight and keep his commandments. He says our receiving is, we receive if we do what is his word. Our doing his word is already our receiving. He is willing to give, but in following and obeying, we're receiving. But it's not just that what is commandment is the minimum. That's good. That's already better than most people. But it's that which is not required, that is pleasing in his sight. That's where the joy comes in. That's where the joy comes in, when we really kick into God's desires. And what is his desire? His house, which is us, to be built, nations to be reached, and prayer for his beloved Israel to be blessed, to be saved. Question. Do you believe that friendship with God is reachable? God says it is reachable based on his righteousness, based on his love. And our friendships can be inside that big circle. Friendship with God. If there's friendship with God in his terms, which are good, there can be real friendships. If there are friendships this way, but they don't have that element, they may crash. Father, thank you for being our friend. You said, I'm a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Thank you that you began to reveal it in Israel. And thank you that friendship is going to return there, just like Joseph and his brothers met. And thank you, we can be your friends. With all of our hearts, we say to you, Father, thank you for giving us your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Messiah, but our greater brother, elder brother, the friend brother. Amen. Thank you for all of you. Your friendship has changed my life again. Thank you.
Hey, we love you. Can you stand with me? Yeah. Wow. Was that good? That was great. Pastor Van, we just love you very much. Appreciate it. And your friendship. Wow. Is that good? Wow. It's amazing. So I'm going to share a little bit, and I might use you.
Okay.
Is that good? Okay. Would you change your position, stand up and turn to each other and just say, I'm looking for a friend tonight. Love you. Thank you. Hey, I'm looking for a friend, really. I got to find it on my knees, right? Okay, you may be seated. Maybe the message that Pastor Ben and I am going to preach to you now, this part, it could be a whole sermon, whole sermon, and yet we don't really need a whole sermon, just a few thoughts that are about this person in the Bible that we read, Mephibosheth. We know the story, I think, in 2 Samuel 16. Many times we read about Mephibosheth, 2 Samuel 9, and he sat at David's table. I'd like you to, he used to translate for me, and we stood by each other like this for years, remember that? Yeah. And he would be speaking in Finnish. It was amazing. So, man has three parts, the body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, spirit. And God has the deepest part of God is the spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. When you are filled with the spirit and I am filled with the spirit, we have a connection that is spiritual. Pastor Ben mentioned, I could get my friends on my knees. I don't have any. Maybe in the body, I've got the people that are like me in the body, the same age, the same style of clothing, the same way of speaking. Maybe we are both kind of cool. And that's how some people have friendships, based on how they are on the outside associated with each other. Okay? Then we have our soul, and people are also connecting with each other by going to a bar room, a chess club, health club, school, university, and in their soul, they are similar, so they connect in their soul. Maybe sometimes they get married based on these two things, the physical thing, number one, and their soul, number two. And that's very common. But Pastor Ben is saying, and we are hearing, that we have a friendship with God, and God is our friend. And that was said so well. I kind of feel that you should say something.
What happened? Okay. Yeah. I always wondered how you do this trick that you make a few figures and it appears there. Yeah. Now I found the secret. So you said very deep things, but I was fascinated with this technology. We're in America. Oh, wow.
Yeah, wait a minute. Hey, in Israel, what is it like in Israel? Sand and stones?
Yeah, pretty much. Like this, sticks. This things exist, but I'm not quite on that level. So
okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Now there's just I got this. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Technology.
Okay.
Wow.
So there was a story in the Bible about Samson having a girlfriend, and her name was Delilah. And have any of our new couples, new babies born, are they named Delilah? Anybody going in that direction? Okay. No Delilahs in the room, maybe? Mm-hmm. What would you say about that? Samson and Delilah, what kind of friendship did they have?
Oh, wow. Samson was trying to get to the Philistines. He kind of like wanted to push them out, so he found a nice lady in the wrong place and used that situation like for his war. So it was amazing. He got involved and something happened. Then the others got mad at him and then he punched back harder. And yet he was anointed by God. Strange make to make war and get women involved in it. That's not spiritual, really. Oh,
Deuteronomy chapter 13, if you just look at that for a second, Deuteronomy 13, God warned the Jewish people by saying that, verse 3, doesn't it say friend, or is it verse, where is that? Deuteronomy 13. Doesn't it say friend there? No. Does it? 6, verse 6. Oh, okay. Deuteronomy 13, verse 6. If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, your wife or the wife of thy bosom or thy friend, which is as thine own soul.
Wow.
Entice thee secretly.
Wow.
Now listen to this, Pastor. My friend, do we just... Wow. I have an idea. Wow. I have an idea.
Wow.
Okay. And I entice you. I entice you. By the way, anybody remember that brother that hang up the phone, Eric?
Yeah.
Okay, he passed away. Yeah, he passed away. Well, didn't we say it? In this hang up the phone, Eric? Didn't we do it? I'm not saying I told you so. I'm not saying that. I'm not happy about it. I'm sorry about it. But there you go. If your friend entice you, and come along and just say, I got an idea. Okay?
Wow.
All right, now. This message could be long, and I don't want to, think that's enough. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's amazing. You and I have to find what Mephibosheth found. And this will be the part, okay? I think you want to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to say that a friend will say that, let's put flesh before these things. But he won't use these words. It's like, we haven't compromised here before. There's a particular thing we can do in town. We'll just go and try it out.
Nobody needs to know.
Nobody will know.
Don't tell Pastor Schaller.
We'll do it only once.
We'll do it only once. Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Just stay here. I know you want to. Okay.
No, I don't care. No.
Let's wave to Ramona.
I love being with you.
Ramona.
Shalom.
Shalom. Okay. He is here. He is here.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, wait. All right. All right. So here it is. This could be a long, but okay. Here's David, body, soul, spirit. Here's Mephibosheth. And he ate at his table. You know the story, 2 Samuel 9. He ate at his table. Did Mephibosheth love David? Was it grace? Was it a ministry of grace? David gave him Mephibosheth grace. Did Mephibosheth have a friend in David? He did. Mephibosheth found that this man really loved him and cared for him. I want to draw Mephibosheth in a wheelchair here. Okay. And I'm doing that for a reason. He was disabled. And there was a time in the history, in 2 Samuel 16, when he had a servant. His name was, anybody know his name? Ziba. And Absalom took over, and David left the country. And Ziba, David said to Ziba, "Where's Mephibosheth?" And what did Ziba say? 2 Samuel 16. The king said, verse 3, the king said, "Where is your master's son?" Oh, I'm so happy I'm in church here tonight. I'm so proud of our church. Here we are on Super Bowl Sunday, and we assemble here to hear a story that is amazing. That's going to be food for you when you go to bed tonight and you think about this, because we heard from this man of God, and we've had a great week. Oh, I'm so happy about this. And look at verse 3. The king said, "Where is your master's son?" He said it to Ziba. And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he abides at Jerusalem. For he said, 'Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father.'" Now, that needs a little explanation, but here, this man, Ziba, slandered Mephibosheth to David. He slandered him. Do you know what he said? David said, "Where's Mephibosheth?" And Ziba took the opportunity, because he's lame. I got an opportunity to slander him to David, and David will never find out about it, probably. I can put this guy out, and I got an idea about it. Ziba said, "Oh, he says now with Absalom as king, the kingdom will be restored to me, Mephibosheth. I will get the kingdom. I will get the kingdom." This is what Ziba said to David. So David says, I think it's not a good judgment because he's too quick on his judgment. Then he said to Ziba, "Behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth." He said, "Okay, Ziba, you get everything that pertained to Mephibosheth. If Mephibosheth is going to think that way, then I'm going to give you everything that he has inherited, all of his land, everything that he's got, I'm giving to you, Ziba." And Ziba, in false humility, is like saying, basically, "I'll take that." What a story. Did you want to say something about it, Pastor?
Yeah, Ziba was upset and jealous because he had a lot of servants at a big household, and David gave everything to Mephibosheth. So why does he get all this estate and all these workers and all this food? He had so much food, and Ziba didn't get so much, and he figured, this one guy doesn't need all that. He was jealous.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. So now go to the last part of the story. It's chapter 19 of 2 Samuel. This is about friendship. Verse 24, 2 Samuel 19. Mephibosheth, now David is returned back to Jerusalem. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. And he neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said to him, "Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? Why didn't you go with me when I was escaping the city?" And he said, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, 'Ziba, I will saddle me an ass, and I may rule thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God, Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. What I want to say about it is, he said, Ziba slandered me. He tricked. He did this thing. But I've got you. I got you. You know, you are back. Look at it, verse 27. He has slandered thy servant unto my Lord the King, but my Lord the King is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. Like, I don't care about the slander. You are like an angel of God to me. Like, I know you. But if you go in the story, you see that kind of David made a quick judgment against Mephibosheth. But Mephibosheth, in a way, he doesn't really care about that because he knows David from 2 Samuel 9 because he knows who he is. He knows who he is. That's amazing. I know who he is. That's important. To know who we are, who God is, who Pastor Ben is. Do you realize that Pastor Ben could mess up? Do you realize that he could make a mistake? Do you realize Pastor Ben or myself or anybody in this room? Do you realize we can mess up? David, I think David did in this. He said, Mephibosheth, why didn't you leave with me? What were you saying? What were you talking about? Did you actually believe the kingdom would come back to you? Like, what was in your heart? And Mephibosheth, no, with a beard and dirty, not washed. And he said, oh, I haven't, he didn't tell him this, but I haven't washed since you left. I've been thinking about you every day. You are my friend. I know who you are. And David could say, you know, what? And Mephibosheth said, I was slandered. And actually, my servant misled me. He said he was going to go get the ass, the donkey, so that I could go, but he never came. And then he goes to you. I don't know what he told you, but we read that he told you that I stayed back for the kingdom. But you know what? I don't really care about him. He can have anything you want to give him. I don't care. I just care about you. You're the man. You're the guy. You're the one I know. Did you mess up? Probably you did. I don't know. But I'm just glad you're back because I know your heart. I know your mind. I know what your attitude is. You are my friend. Isn't that amazing? Look at the next part. It says, and we'll finish. It says, and the king said, why... Or 28, for all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet did thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thy own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? He's saying, I've gotten so much grace from you. I ate at your table every day. I don't have anything to say about the thing. I'm just glad you're back home. That's all it is. That's an amazing relationship. 29, and the king said unto him, why do you speak any more of your matters? I have said, you and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take it all. For as much as my lord, the king has come again in peace unto his own house. He can have the whole thing. As long as you are here, that's what I got. That's what I got. You know, the ministry worldwide, Pastor Schiavelli preached this morning about the church and what the church is and missions and friends. And I would say that the ministry of greater grace, more than anything, is a fellowship of spiritual friends. That we are learning how we love each other. And that quality of love that Mephibosheth had for David came from God. And David was the minister of God. And God has made you his friend. And when you are his friend, then you will have friends. Sometimes I do meet people that say, you know, I'm here, but I don't have any friends. And I loved your statement. Be first a friend on your knees with God. And when you are a friend of God, then you will look up one day and you're going to have a friend standing next to you. You're going to have a friend, a good one. God's going to give you one. And that friend is going to be a friend, you know, in the deepest meaning. Okay? Amen. Did you want to finish?
I wanted to say, wow, because when King David took Mephibosheth to his table, he got to know that love. And I say this, we have a table. I know we use all these devices, but it's a real table of grace. This is going to carry me like, wow. Any trials may just hit me like, I won't believe it, but this table, this friendship, thank you.
Yeah, do you want to do the altar call? Because I'm losing my voice.
Okay, I can do the altar call. Sometimes I wonder if we're all believers, but you know, you go to a meeting with so many smiley faces, but you never know if there's somebody who needs the Lord. You never know. Someone is there to whom God has been speaking, and they have not yet quite responded. So, let's pray. Let's pray. If you are not sure that you have your friendship with God established by that cross, that sacrifice, the Son made for you, Son of God made for you. Pray in your heart, in your own way, like this. Father, in my heart, I know I have that need. I cannot save myself. My sin separates me from your love. You still love me, but I need that sacrifice that was done for me. And I open my heart now and I say, thank you, Savior, for dying for my sins. Thank you, Father, for giving your Son. I receive him in my heart now. Thank you, Lord. Make it very real. Fill me with your Spirit that I get hold of this eternal treasure. If anyone prayed that for the first time, we want to give you something to take for your next step. And just raise your hand if you prayed for the first time. Thank you. Please, if you prayed for the first time, just raise your hand. Okay, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for that amazing message we just heard about David being the image face of the Master, our Lord, who you are. Amen.